the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're going to take advantage of one more summery Sunday to not be wearing robes this week as we kick off the church school program this morning with many thanks to teachers who have been readily preparing and for our youth leaders who hosted our first youth gathering last Friday evening. We'd like to extend a warm welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning, particularly those who might be new to the community or college students who are back in school and in full force again with us. And we invite everyone to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of the pews and pass them down the pews so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. And if you would like to be part of our Providence Publicist weekly emailing, or kind of weekly emailing, mostly weekly emailing, please include your email address on that if you have one, and other ways that we might contact you if you wish to be contacted. Everyone is invited to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after worship this morning, and you'll have a chance to get more information about church school in this year in that fellowship time as well. Our chancel choir will be back with us in worship next week, and so they will begin rehearsing this morning after worship. So please, if you are interested in singing with that group, they rehearse generally before and after worship, and usually one evening of the week as well, as people are able to do that. So please see Elena, our church organist, or maybe Andrew also could raise a hand, Suzanne also in the choir, if you have questions about being part of the choir. Please note that on the calendar, on your inside pages, it erroneously says that the interim study committee is meeting on Monday. It is actually meeting on Tuesday, right, at 6:30, so interim study committee members note that as well. Next Sunday, we will be holding after worship a confirmation class parent meeting for all parents who are interested in more information about how confirmation process will work for 8th through 12th graders this year. So if you have questions about that or you're interested in being part of that confirmation class, please talk to me after the worship service, and we'll make sure that you are connected with all of the information as that arises. Are there other announcements this morning? Gina has more.
Hi. I just wanted to let you all know we are kicking off our Sunday school programs today, as Pastor Chris mentioned. All students ages 3 through middle school are meeting in Sunday school classes today. If you are unsure of where your child is, what class your child is going to be in, please see me as the children head out. I can help direct the kids to where they need to go. Also, during coffee hour, for anyone who is new this year to Sunday school, we have registration forms in the back for you to fill out. It's just for contact information, any emergency information that we need to know as we launch into our Sunday school year. If you have already registered in the past, please see Mary Ann Harrison. She has a master list for you to look at and check off your contact information so you don't have to fill anything out all over again this year. And I think that is it. Okay.
Suzanne has it. Hi. After a very quiet summer, we suddenly had many calls to our prayer chain, and I have a new prayer list for everyone involved. Some of you who don't know how this works, you call in if you have a prayer request that you want people continuously prayed for, not just on Sunday morning or Wednesday prayer breakfast. We have a group of prayers, and we, Joanne Navilliet or I get a call from someone, and then we just pass it along the chain, and then people just pray. So if there's anybody in the group here who likes to pray, and maybe doesn't have time to get involved in a lot of other things that we do, this is a very good way to stay connected to the church and be part of our community. And I would like to recognize everybody that has been praying for all of you for months and years. Joanne Neviliot, Dorothea Lusignan, Julie Baldwin, Barbara Claflin, Helen Nagosian, Gladys Brown, Gershon Roca, Judy Babcock, Rolf Gertson, and Young Oak Padden. And I would like to thank all of you very much for your continued service.
So good morning. So I'm helping to lead and organize this year's AIDS Walk again. So PPC is graciously supporting, and I'd like to see as many people as we can from PPC. So the date is in 3 weeks, so it's on Saturday morning, so it's not going to interfere with church. So it's September 28th, and it starts at 9 a.m., and it goes about noon. So we'll be walking 2.5 miles. It's around Providence. There'll be free food. There'll be some music. So it'll be a very engaging sort of day. And it'd be great to see as many people. People can always give money if they want. There's a booth out there with some more information. But I think it's more important to see as many faces and as many people from PBC, you know, out there walking if we can. And it doesn't conflict with church or anything, and we'd be grateful to see as many people.
So come join us. It's one of the, it's the youth mission event for this month as well. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is new every morning. In gratitude, then, let us reach for that grace. Let us come with hearts open to hear and receive God's word to us. Let us come to worship with our whole spirits, minds, and bodies. Let us sing our praise as we join together with the worship band this morning in singing Forever.
Good morning. Join me in standing as we sing.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is strong.
The psalmist writes, "Search me and know my heart, test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Trusting in the grace of God, a God who knows our every way and being, let us come in a spirit of confession, praying first in silence, then together using the prayer printed in our worship order. Let us pray. O Holy One, we call to you and name you as eternal, ever-present, and boundless in love. Yet there are times, O God, when we fail to recognize you in the daily routine of our lives. Sometimes shame clenches tightly around our hearts, and we hide our true feelings. Sometimes fear makes us small, and we miss the chance to speak from our strength. Sometimes doubt invades our hopefulness, and we degrade our own wisdom. Holy God, in the daily round from sunrise to sunset, remind us again of your holy presence hovering near us and in us. Free us from shame and self-doubt. Help us to see you in the moment-by-moment possibilities, to live honestly, to act courageously, and to speak from our wisdom. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession from the small hymnal, number 2157, Come and Fill Our Hearts. Remaining seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is for us, for those who would believe and trust that God provides new opportunity, the gift of each new day. Friends, believe this good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and freed. Let us live as a people who so believe. Amen.
And now it's time to share our joy and concern among each other and to the Lord.
My brother-in-law, John, who was waiting for a heart transplant, is now in the hospital, so please pray for him and for a new heart.
I have a big joy, but I have to get a strength. See the big joy.
I'll start with another joy then, that undergraduate classes started at Brown this past Wednesday, and we have some new students here with us now, and it's a very exciting time. So I guess prayers for all of the students, old and new, who are starting up again.
Just a quick update on my mom, who was in the hospital with pneumonia and a collapsed lung. She is still there. but looking possibly like she could come home in the next few days. Her lung still hasn't really reinflated. They're not sure if it will, but at least the antibiotics that she's on now seem to be taking care of the infection. So prayers for them. I thought she was going to go to a nursing care facility, but now it looks like she's going to be going home, so it's going to be a lot on my dad to help care for her.
Good morning. Just an update on my sister Tiffany as well. I think I mentioned this in the service. About 2 months ago, she was admitted to the hospital, was in the ICU for about 5 days, and was diagnosed with acute leukemia. And after 2 months of rigorous chemo and treatment, she's back home. And just prayers for her for continued healing. She's not through the woods, out of the woods yet. And but also prayers for my parents, who are nearing 75 and having to care for her pretty intensely. Pray for them. Pray for healing for her. Thanks so much.
I think my joy will be the last. I believe.
When I picked Edward up at Providence College this morning, the guard at the front entrance, I always have to explain to each new guard why I'm coming in, that I'm going to collect a young man and take him to church. And in so doing, this man said, "Oh, will you please ask your church to pray for my mother? She was taken to the hospital by rescue." Neither Edward nor I can remember her name, but we can pray for her anyway.
If we could pray for Providence College's interfaith, it was recently disbanded by Providence College for not staying with the Catholic mission that it has. So we're now meeting unofficially in a campus suite instead. So if you guys could pray for the reinstatement of interfaith, that would be great.
Syria. I guess wisdom. Pray for wisdom. This thing is not simple. And I wrote to a former student who is a Syrian and her husband who live up in Sharon about a week and a half ago and asked her, and she, like Medhat, has enormous numbers of family members still there. In fact, the majority of her and her husband's families are in Syria. And I said, what do you think we should do, we the United States? She doesn't know. She doesn't even know. And the people that she's in touch with there don't know, because there's the upside of a strike. There's the downside of a military strike. I was a conscientious objector in the 1960s and early 70s. I don't know. I think we need wisdom. Our 535 members of Congress, our president, his cabinet, his military advisors, and the world community to figure out what is the course when the most recent horrible action, which toppled on top of all other manner of horrible actions by Assad, took place. And I, for one, think that chemical weapons are another breed of something. But don't ask me why I think that. Wisdom.
I have a joy. My brother down in Pennsylvania seems to be doing very well, and his daughter's getting married next weekend, and I just pray that he'll keep his strength in going to the wedding and getting home again safely. And also, we need prayers, please, for Melinda Brailsford, who's having a rough time lately. Thank you.
Surprise. Thank you all of you. It's through you, your prayers, your time, your support, and I'm holding this. My green card. It's through you. Thank you all. I thank you. I don't know how. Thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Especially Pastor Chris.
I struggle with Pastor Chris with this. Up and down, going back and forth. Pastor Chris, God bless you. But I'm happy. To be honest with you, I'm happy. But I'm sad in my heart. Yeah. I'm very sad. I wish my wife would be sitting over here and see this joy and this all this celebration. But I know that, Terry, you are over there watching this. You are watching me. If you are not even watching me, you are hearing what I'm saying. God bless you. And I love you, and I always love you. Thank you all. Thank you.
As Pastor Chris said earlier, choir starts singing next Sunday. Today we're meeting together. It's important, even if you cannot stay, just come for 5 minutes. We need to decide on the schedule, on the time for rehearsal, and the day for rehearsal. Thank you.
Let us pray. In life and in death, we belong to you, O God, God of the whole earth and all times and places. We seek your wisdom in so many arenas these days, as a new school year begins for these students, teachers, new learnings and opportunities, the promise and hope ahead amidst hard work. We give thanks for all of the students and teachers with us in this congregation. We give thanks, O God, this day for the joys of life, for healing for Julie's brother Jim as he prepares, for strength for his daughter's wedding next week. We give thanks, O God, for the long journey that Nicholas has journeyed to this green card. We seek your wisdom, O God, and healing for a world in pain and despair, for visions to paths of peace and well-being for all your people, particularly for all world leaders and decision makers around our world, and particularly in the Middle East, for those on the streets of our country and in the hearts of all. We pray, O Lord, this day for the people and ministries of our presbytery, for its meeting this Saturday, moving in some new directions, for change is always challenging. For Pastors Ed and Ginny Brooks, Bob Vian, Joan Withers Priest, and for Jerson and Uncia Sow's work with the Presbyterian Immigration Ministry. We pray for those in particular need for healing in these days, for John awaiting the heart transplant in the hospital, for Irma, Joe's mother, for Tiffany and Lynn's parents in this journey through the leukemia, for the Providence College Guard's mother, and for the Providence College group not sanctioned to meet. For Jackie Cooper as she rebuilds her strength at Epic, and for Melinda. May you be in and with all of these people, in and through your spirit and through us, as we seek to show our care and love. Guide our steps, O God, as we seek to lead in teaching this year all of these students that have come for church school. We give thanks to all who have stepped forth to answer your call to serve. Help us to look with clear vision for the next steps of this congregation, trusting your all-sufficient spirit to prevail as it has again and again. Open our eyes that we may see you at work in our midst, and with joy and energy step forth to be the church that you alone call us to be. Guide us, O God, to witness in big and small ways in all of our lives, to your grace and to love and love to this world in need, to step beyond our community here to show forth your gospel. For it is in your power we live and breathe, as we live in the spirit of our Lord who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to call forth all of the children who will be singing in the children's choir this morning forward at this time. Children can stay up here in the front row as we commission their teachers if they would like. I would like to call forward all of our church school teachers that are here this morning with us to come forward for their commissioning so that you have a chance to see how many and how blessed we are to have leaders in this congregation who are willing and able and ready to help teach the gospel, to share the gospel with these little ones this season. And this isn't even all of them. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope and one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. We are called by God to be the Church of Jesus Christ, a sign of the world of today, of what God intends for all humankind. We commission this day these church school teachers for the new year of learning and teaching that is before them. The call of Christ is to willing, dedicated discipleship. Those standing before you this morning have answered that call to teach in the nurture ministries of this church with our children and youth. This discipleship is both a gift and a commitment. Just ask them and they will tell you. An offering and a responsibility. And so, with Alice and Sally and Andrew and Monica and Gladys and Marianne and Beatrice and Joe and Sharon and Juliet and Tom and Lori and Jenny and Jill and Gina, we give thanks that you have answered this call, that the grace bestowed to you in baptism. And as we recognize that, we know that it is sufficient for your calling because it is God's grace which will lead you. By God's grace, we are saved and enabled to grow in faith and to commit our lives in ways that serve Christ as we study and seek to prepare that gospel message. God has called you to a particular service.
Please show your purpose by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will.
Do you welcome the responsibility of this service because you are determined to follow the Lord Jesus, to love neighbors, and to work for the reconciling of the world? Will you serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, relying on God's mercy and rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit?
I will.
This question is to the congregation. Do we, the people of this church, commit our support in this effort of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, as we have promised at so many of the baptisms of these children, nurturing by encouragement and financial support the efforts of this teaching, and so share in the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship with these teachers and all our children and youth? If so, say we do.
Let us pray. Faithful God, in baptism you claimed us, and by your Holy Spirit you are working in our lives, empowering us to live a life worthy of our calling. We thank you for leading these teachers for this year, to this time and place. Establish them in your truth and guide them by your Holy Spirit, that in your service they may grow in faith, hope, and love, and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you called disciples, and by the Holy Spirit made them one church to serve you. Let your Spirit rule your church, so that we may be joined in love and service to Jesus Christ, who, having gone before us, is coming to meet us in the promise of your kingdom. Amen.
Our charge is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Welcome and amen as you join in this ministry of our Lord in this new season. Thank you. And our children are now excused to go down to their classes. The middle school class is meeting upstairs, and Gina Bay is there to help you find the right classrooms for this morning.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. Hear now the word of the Lord. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare, concerning a nation or a kingdom, that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter, shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. Our New Testament lesson comes from the letter of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even yourself. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord. Our next hymn is God of Grace and God of Glory, number 420. Thank you.
Good morning, and I'd like to say I'm very happy to be back after a long time being away. 1 week on mission trip and 3 weeks vacation. And I hope we all come with the new spirit of starting and hit the road with the high seasons. And as we read the story today from Jeremiah chapter 18 about the struggle of coming and watching and listening to God's voice, I want to tell you something about the historical facts that surrounded the story and surrounded the mission of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is being known for two things. One is being the youngest one. He started his missionary as a very young guy. And we know his famous thing about, I'm just a boy, I'm just a young guy, and I could not carry this heavy and strong responsibility. But God told him, it's not about what you have, but it's about what I can do by you. And the second thing is really matter about his message is not really a pleasant message, because it's about the future, which has some potential bad things to the Israelites. One thing to remember about what happened around this time was the ancient Judea was really a small and a tiny kingdom compared to the other empires. The Egyptian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire. And all these three big fighters, they have to knock one down to get to rule the world. And poor Judea, they were very tiny, and because they were in a very strong and strategic place, all the time the eye were on Judea about who can own it. Because Judea in the middle, if you want to go through Babel or go through the Assyrian Empire, so everybody wanted to take this small, tiny place on the map on their side. So from an army viewpoint, was a very essential. Was too small, but was very important. And these poor people, maybe they are not that much different from our situation. They have to choose the right side. Which one? Do we really be allied with the Egyptians? Are they going to be the winners? They have no really interest which one be the winner. The only concern is, are we taking the right decision? Are we taking the right side? And it's happened many times. The Israelites take the other side, and then the Egyptians take over, and then they punish them after that. They take the Syrian side, and then the Egyptians punish them. And it was very hard for leaders. And Jeremiah was one of these voices say, stop bending on your own thoughts and your own intelligence. Did you see what you did? You can do your own math. You can do your own intelligence, complicated things, but still it didn't save you. And Jeremiah is going now to listen. And listening is a very essential piece of the story about today. And listening is not and just like, here's a message from God, Jeremiah, here's what I'm telling you. And I wonder about the whole story, about why did Jeremiah need to go to the potter's house? He can get the whole message. Going to the potter's house is not like something exotic like today, going to watch art. This really going to McDonald's today, or like going for shopping. And that's everybody knows everything, and everybody's expert. Because this is the place where they go and get their vessels to cook food and to feed their animals. So this is a very common place. He knows it very well. He doesn't need to go there. But it seems it was a very important message for him to listen and to understand listening to God's voice is not a dead end. It's an opening process. When we listen, maybe we got the first sentence. We didn't get the whole paragraph. Maybe we didn't get the whole book. And this is the message for us today, to hear God as talking to us. Not as just, he talked and that's it. God is speaking to us in every situation, in every day. And we can see in this story, Jeremiah is visiting to the potter's house, that God can talk with us through many ways. Sometimes God communicates with us through places we have been there every day and we never thought about, could God talk to us through these places? or through people we meet every day in our life. Maybe we are bored. Maybe we know them very well. Maybe we never thought this is the way God is talking to us, through normal and ordinary thing. It doesn't need to be every time a supernatural thing happened, the earthquake or volcano or something big happened to take our attention. It's very easy to miss God's word and vision and talk when it just happened during our daily life. And one of my best thing I remember about being attention to our daily life, about do we ever think about when we sit down and eat the food and being in touch with the food we're eating? Are we inhaling the food and just doing to keep going and go because we are busy? Have we ever hold an apple in our hand and felt it and understand where it came from and be appreciative for the farmers and for the effort and everything? The way it's ended into our hands, not to take it for granted, but to be connected with the whole process. And we can change our way we see things. Stop taking things for granted. Stop thinking God just spoke to you last week or yesterday or last year or it's in the Bible. God is talking now, but are we listening? God talks usually not only, as I said, in a supernatural way. Sometimes it happens because we are too blind and maybe we can't see or we are too stubborn to listen really carefully. But sometimes, or many times, God uses a normal way to communicate with us. How many times we thought about hearing God's message in what we do as our job and our career? Behind, we have to wake up early in the morning, and we have to get the paycheck, and we have to deal with all the logistic things in our jobs and careers. Do we really listen to God's voice in our activities, in our career? Jeremiah is the example of the believer who is ready to listen to God's voice and to see things from different perspective. And as I said, visiting the potter's house in the ancient world was like a normal activity, a normal scene. But God started to talk to Jeremiah to tell him to listen and keep listening. Keep walking and keep listening. Keep watching and learning and see things and keep listening. And it seems like this was the really ideal way of what we heard today about if you want to do the best way of educating people is getting the visual and the audio side. And I think he got both. He was listening and at the same time he's seeing what's really going on and getting the message. Do you understand, Jeremiah? It was very important for him to see this side and learn about God's working, like the way this guy is carefully focused on his clay, touching it and carefully dealing and reshape it and with all passion. If something went wrong, he's willing to go back and do something different. The potter tried to do his job as a maker. That's his job. That's his career. That's his career, to make a vessel. And something went wrong suddenly. And we can go and spend hours talk about what happened, how things went wrong. It could be a small piece of dust, small tiny stone, even maybe we cannot see by our hand, but it could destroy the whole shape. But the point here is that the maker is willing to do things if we. And there is two sides of this text to approach is God warning and making us afraid, if you don't do this, I am going to do this to you. But actually, this only happened in the last part of the whole paragraph. If you go back and read the paragraph again and the whole passage, it's actually full of passion and love and care. And actually giving us the key in our hand, we are not just doing what God wants us to do. He's telling us, if you want me to do something for you, you have the key to let me do that. The if, the condition is in our hand. God is not going to change in his attitude in a very positive way. I am willing to do the work again. I am going to change my mind and make the vessel in a different style, in a different way. But are you willing? Are you willing to really give me your life and your future and your present so I can really mold around and do my best as much as I could. So we are really a very powerful creatures. It's our choice to let God help us and jump in our boat to help us, to teach us, to guide us. Or it's our choice, it's in our own. We'll do it. We are fine. We didn't need anything. Life provides illustration of the divine word in many ways. And the word of God is communicating through picture, words, icons, and through a place like that. And if we can imagine the potter's house for our day could be a place like that Sunday morning, or like a time where we come together and open our ears to listen and to hear God's voice. We are either too fast so we cannot see, or we are too slow and we have no energy to turn our head around to see things, to see life and nature as in speaking elements from God's. But there is a message about life from all of life if we just stop and listen, if we just walk and listen, if we just bring our own struggle, and even if we are saying a voice that's different from everybody. Even if every voice is speaking about war and it's hard to speak about peace at a time like this today. But this is what we should be. What is significant about this passage is that Jeremiah received not one word, but two words. The first was told just to go down to the potter's house, watch. Watch carefully, see the work. Jeremiah went and saw the potter's work spoiled and reworked again. Only when he saw the result of his trip, and then the second word came to him. The second word then understood the potter's rebuilding action as a symbolic of God's ability and interest, even in finishing something and starting new beginning, rebuilding people's community, new faith. All of people history can learn that today. We can say history repeats itself, but our reactions could be different. Things could happen on a daily basis like the same happened for centuries or for thousands of years, but we have the experience. We have to learn what happened before, and we can stand on a mountain of experience and people who came before us to teach us. We can think different. We can act different. We can love and care and do justice in a different way. If Jeremiah had just listened once for God, he no doubt would have received the message, but he wouldn't have received the word of God. God can be like the potter, put an end to something, to a clay that didn't really turn in the right way. But also, he's the one who can reform our life. The decision about the future of this clay depends on our flexibility and acceptance of God's work. God's work could be finishing something, reshaping something, making our life as like an open window, rearranging our values to meet people's needs and the community needs, and to be God's peoples of God in all the time and everywhere. And according to this text, God is always working on doing things better. That should be our faith. Our life, if we are voluntarily give God the chance to work in us and through us. I hear the warning about if we didn't obey God, but also I hear the great privilege we can open our life for things to happen, or we can close the door in God's face. God is about listening, acting, building, planting. Even God is about putting an end to something. Could you imagine that? Or about finishing something and start a new beginning. God is in all these. These are the work of God as we live our lives. Jeremiah urged us today to look for the divine lessons from the common activities of life, to listen for first and second and third and 1,000,000 times God is going to talk to us. And that's why I insist on putting the title of the sermon not a second chance, but another chance. God is not a good accountant. He doesn't just sit down and say, this is your last chance. It's always really about, could we believe God is always the good heart and the open doors for us if we are willing really to take more serious and more to grow in our life. Maybe we feel history repeats itself, but we can learn to do things in a different way because we are shaped by what happened, listening as a continuing process and God's revelation. And here's the last thing I want to leave with you. How can God's people grow and remain secure? This is the challenge I want to leave with you. This nation was really going to face not a good future, but actually you can turn it around and say it was a good future. Because when they were taken to the exile, they understood God's presence in a different way. I'm not saying we like to go through bad times or we want to go to the exile, but even when bad things happen, still God working. Even when things come to an end, and it seems there is always a competition between do we need to grow or do we remain secure? Amen. As I ended my sermon, I hope you can listen to me carefully. I have a very important announcement for you today. I was out for 1 week with the mission trip, and 3 weeks I was in Minnesota on vacation. That's the official part. The other part was really was struggling with an opportunity for a call in a city close to the Twin Cities. Just 40 miles from the Twin Cities. And there really was personal struggle, family struggle, and other things, and getting the wisdom and listening to God's voice, and heard from my co-pastor, which I respect her very much. And then we decide to bring to the decision last week. And this was kind of like a big sign for me to... It's very hard to leave a church like this. This is a wonderful church. But the reality is, if you remember, I am the interim, okay? And we need to remember that. I sooner or later, I have to leave. And really, the longer I stay, it's hard for me to leave this place because this is a wonderful place. I love you, and I care about this church. And without getting the blessing from the session and from the co-pastor, really, if we can work things out and updating the session, and as I'm going to update you as where we are right now on the interim study committee, as we are meeting with Pastor Chris this Tuesday, and then we'll wrap the whole process and we'll start write our documents and be ready. So by the time of Thanksgiving, the interim study committee will be done. And then we'll go forward with electing the PNC, the committee that's responsible for finding the best pastor for our future, called by God and by us. And then, so by the end of this year, we could really have a good good view and good plan for that. And because the other church wants me to start, and as I told them, I cannot leave this church until January. So I hope you understand that this is really could be a positive thing for everybody, and we are not, I'm not saying goodbye, okay? This is normally a pastor announced maybe a month before, but this is a long time. But really, we have been transparent to us about everything. We like everybody to be on board, so session members, everybody. So we didn't have just some people know and the other doesn't. And I'm very open to talk about everything. And please, Pastor Chris has a lot to deal with. So if you need, really talk with me. And I know it's all your comments or all your advice coming from a caring and loving heart. And don't go, my request from you, please do not go to the goodbye mood, okay? Because we have 4 months, okay? Really, because we are, this is a quarter of a year. This is a long time. We have a lot and amazing and interesting. We are starting a wonderful season, very busy season. So you could help me feeling like, yes, I'm working. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing in January. So really, this is my request from all of you. Keep focus on the good work. Keep focus on the good spirit. If you know, like I'm here only for 4 months, What could I do behind the dealing with the worship and the interim? Is there anything I could do before as having somebody like me here? So please understand that, and I need your prayers, and my family need your prayers. You are you sending all of us all the time, and I think you really did a good job by teaching and helping me and preparing a young minister to learn how to do things better, hopefully, in the future. So, and I really need your prayer, and thank you for your time. Thank you.
Please stand and repeat with me the affirmation of faith as printed in the bulletin, taken from the 8th chapter of Romans. We believe there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. We are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's be seated. And now with a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, we bring forward our gifts of tithes and offerings.
And one of our great thanksgivings is the gift of Angelina Addo, who is here to sing to us and with us this morning in offering, and has recently arrived here from Ghana to be reunited with her mother.
Adin yinayedin.
Almighty God, giver of all good things, we dedicate these tithes and offerings, returning a small portion of your bountiful gifts, to be blessed and multiplied by your grace and spirit. We pray that you use these offerings and use each of us as vessels to spread the love and good news of Christ Jesus throughout our communities and our world. Amen.
Coming in from this time and forever.
Are you going to turn the sound system off? Okay.